Today's scripture reading will be from Psalm 8, 4 through 9. Psalm 8, 4 through 9. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all of the earth.
Good morning. Glad to have each and every one here on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's nice to be able to come together and share a portion of God's Word. You know, this morning I've entitled my introduction, "Is It Really All That Important?" You know, a lot of things in life we look at, we examine, we think about, and then we have to make a decision. Is that all that important? Well, you know, we've all had times when we just started out to do something, or we took on a new project, just knowing we knew exactly what to do, to suddenly realize we had no idea what to do. And then we begin to wonder about what are we going to do next. A fellow by the name of Brett said that his family wanted to get him to learn how to snow ski. They enjoyed doing that kind of thing, and so he decided, okay, he would participate. So he went up to the mountains and he took one of those classes on how to ski. When he graduated, he decided to go down and get on the lift. And he did, and he rode it all the way to the top. And once he got there, he took off, and immediately he realized he's in trouble. He was out of control, and down he went. He wasn't going to give up. He went back to the lift. He rode it all the way back to the top, and he started down the hill again with the same result. He fell again and was hurt, but he decided that he was not going to give up. So he went over and got on that lift again. In fact, he did it several more times. Unfortunately, with every one of them being the same result. He fell down and was hurt. And finally he discovered, you know, maybe this is just not for me. So he went off to decide to do something else. I imagine each and every one of us have had something like that happen in our life. You know, we had a project and we thought, that I can do. And we either just get started or perhaps we're in the middle of it, we realize, I don't have the slightest idea what to do. It didn't turn out at all what we thought it would be. And so we discovered that we had to go get some help. You know, there's things in life that we will experience, things that will cause us to be uncomfortable. And you know, if you get to feel that way, don't feel like you're alone. Don't feel like you're the only one. Because we just heard this morning in the scripture reading, over in Psalms there, we find that there's this statement made by God. In Psalms 46 and verse 10, listen to what he says in this Psalms, 46 and verse 10. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." Let me read that again. Be still and know that I am God. You see, when we have problems, sometimes we begin to think that we're all alone. And we have to understand that God is God. And he is there with us if we are one of his children. And while it is a beautiful set of words, a beautiful phrase to hear, sometimes we wonder, and the question is, how do we do that? It gives a good question. Sometimes we think things are going to be very easy, and they aren't. You see, we may face many things in our life that really cause us to go outside of our comfort zone. We experience some things that are very heart-wrenching, some things that are very difficult, some things that cause us great stress, like we lose a family member. Whatever it happens to be, it's a shock. Or we find out that our career has been done away with and we no longer have a job. Or perhaps we find it difficult because we have to move. And sometimes those things are very difficult to accept, and they cause us to change and go to things that we are unfamiliar with and possibly very uncomfortable. So I hope that you will now open your Bible so that we can study this together this morning, because I've entitled our lesson, "Be Still Before God." Interesting statement, isn't it? To be still before God. You know, before we can realize that God is the God of the universe, We really need to understand how to be still in His presence, how to go to Him in a still mind and a still heart. And although that may sound easy, it's maybe harder than we think. You see, we live in a hectic world. Every day on the news, we see all kinds of things going on, and we find ourselves going from one thing to another. And oftentimes we feel, you know, there's just not enough time, not enough hours in a day to do everything we need to get done. And we find ourselves in a situation where we don't have the proper time to analyze many situations to determine what is the right thing to do. And sometimes we fall back just upon our emotions. Rather than hammering out all the facts or looking at all the issues, we just take and go from our gut and we just forge ahead. Oftentimes we realize that was the wrong decision later, when we've had a chance to really organize and look at all the facts. Now let's go back to Psalms 46 for just a moment. For this psalm is about God. And in verse 11, the Psalms exalted and identified God as the one who is in control of everything. He's the one that created and He is in charge of everything. And the minute we realize that and we understand that He is our rescue, He is our salvation, that we really don't need to worry about a lot. Once we understand that, there's no reason to fear. If He is our refuge and He is our salvation, then we need to lean on Him. And sometimes if we look at that verse and we wonder, how can we be still and know God? We get confused. Is that something we can really do? Because sometimes we really try. And the harder we try, the behinder we get. And it just seems like we're butting our heads up against the wall. So let's look at a few things that may help us to understand this and maybe succeed. Let us consider a few things that may help us be still in the presence of God. And before we can understand and be still, we have to understand that we ourselves have to quiet ourselves down. And don't let our emotions rule us in everything. Let us notice these few things. The first thing we might consider to be still before God is to turn it off. I'm not talking about the TV all that way, although that may be something you want to do. We need to turn off all the sounds that we hear. You know, all the noises of this world, including the noises of our own opinions, sometimes get so loud we can't hear or really listen to the facts. Our head is spinning with all these distractions going on. And it makes it very difficult for us to be still before God, because all these things, all these noises are taking our attention away. Now, no doubt there are some things that we can do to calm ourselves down, to be quiet in our lives and be still. Listen to what Paul says here. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11 if you'd like to read along. Here Paul is talking to the brethren there in Thessalonica, and he's trying to explain about how they are to live their life. And he says here in verse 11, 1 Thessalonians 4, he says, that you also aspire to be led, aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. You see, when we begin to do that and concentrate on our life and what we have to do, there's going to be more room than we think there will be for other things to come along, especially when it comes to God. We'll have more time for Him, because when we turn off all those attention-gathering or distracting things in life, we find out that there's a calm place out there that we can go to. And we can realize that there's other important things than just the noise of this world or all the noise that our own emotions bring to us. You know, sometimes we fight ourselves more than anything else. Our emotions get the better of us and we can't even see a clear picture of what's going on. Now, something else for us to consider when we are looking at being still before God is to go away. What do I mean by that, go away? What did Jesus do when He had something in His mind, in His heart, that He needed to talk to God about? He left the crowds, didn't He? He went off by Himself. He went off so He could have private time to discuss this matter, be directed and advised by His Heavenly Father. You know, all we have to do is consider the 40 days and 40 nights that Jesus was in that wilderness before He started His ministry. Why did He spend so much time there? He was there gathering everything that he needed to know and do, that he was go into his ministry, because at the end of his ministry was a horrible event. And he needed to prepare himself from the very beginning, even to get past Satan, get out of that 40 days. But he did that in the quiet of himself and the Lord and Father, God Almighty. He communed with him during that time so he could set his mind right to do what he needed to do. And also we could just look at Matthew 6 and verse 6 as we find here what Jesus said. Matthew 6 and verse 6 we find, Jesus said, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." That's a beautiful statement. To give us encouragement to be quiet and in that calm and quiet place to commune with our Heavenly Father. To have a conversation, as it was, to let our heart relieve all that's on it. And there in our solitude, in that private place where nobody else can interrupt, no other interruptions or distractions, we can truly get a quiet and still pattern. And that's what Jesus did. When he needed that time, he went away from the crowds. Even when he took the three up to the Mount of Transfiguration, he didn't stay there right with them. He went off a distance, didn't he? So he could pray earnestly to his Father. We need to be and have that quiet time. That time that we can be still and listen to the things that are more important, that God will instruct us, and that we can be still and quiet to hear his voice. Now the next thing we might consider is to close our eyes. You might wonder, why would you close your eyes? You know, it's amazing what you can see when you close your eyes. You can focus on whatever the problem is, and you can begin to examine it and listen to those thoughts and rationally go through a problem by closing your eyes. And as a result, that something good can happen. You know, I read recently of a fellow, he's now passed away, but for the last 9 years of his life, he was blind. He had lost his eyesight. And once he really came to grips with the fact that he had lost his eyesight, he asked his son to come. He had something to tell him. He said, "Dad, what do you want to say?" He said, "I want you to understand. Don't feel bad about me because I lost my sight. Do you realize I now can see the world through my heart?" You see, his being blind given an opportunity to look at God in a different way, to look at the world in a different way. Perhaps maybe that's what God wanted him to see. You know, as we think about that, we may think about Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, this is what he said on a similar experience here. Isaiah 6 verse 1. He says here, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high, lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple." Now, in this vision that he was seeing, more than likely his eyes were closed. And yet, when his eyes were closed, he could see plainly the Lord God Almighty sitting on high and in control of everything. And God was exalted in his reigning and ruling throughout the world. You know, sometimes the best view we can have, especially of God, is with our eyes closed. When we dedicate ourselves to be quiet and sound in his presence, then we can hear him. And we need to understand that to be still, that there is something more important than looking with our open eyes. Sometimes that's a way to shut out some of that distraction so we can concentrate on what we want to communicate. Now, the last thing to consider that might help us before God is to listen to God's voice. Interesting thing, isn't it? You know, if you really want to hear something that is quiet and still, sometimes you need to shut everything out. You need to turn it off, go away, and close your eyes. And then we would be ready to hear God. Now, I'm not talking about a loud booming voice coming out of heaven. I'm talking about the sensation and an intimate relationship you can develop and understand what God really may want you to know and what he's trying to tell us. And when we do these things, God has our attention, doesn't he? When we shut everything out and then we go to God, he has our attention. To illustrate this, let me tell you a little story about Elijah in 1 Kings in chapter 19. You know, just before this are in this chapter, we find out that a lot of things that happen, and Elijah does this miraculous thing by offering a sacrifice, and then he defeats 450 of the false Baal prophets and another 400 false prophets of the groves. Now, once he does that, King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, well, they want his life. They set out to kill him. Well, he runs, he flees, and he goes to a cave. Now, there he's by himself, and he's wondering, he's afraid. And then we look what happened when God comes to him, and he calls to him. Let's look at 1 Kings 19. We'll start in verse 11 and go through 13, as God reaches out to him. In verse 11, we find God says, "Then he said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice.'" See, after all the noise came the still small voice. And then in verse 13, "So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave." Entrance. "Suddenly a voice came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" God had a message for Elijah, but he had to make sure that he was listening and he got his attention. You see, Elijah had been looking for some answers to his problems in his life while he was in there in the cave, and he found nothing. He was only more frightened than when he went in. But God called out to him. And when he got his attention, he gave him an important message. And, you know, likewise, when we find the answers to the big problems in our life, maybe it's time that we find that cleft of God's hand and we find our peace and calm there so we can listen to what he has to say to us. And you know, if we do that, sometimes we will be able to hear that small voice of God. And then we can understand that there's more important things than for us to eliminate or limit what God can do through us. You see, we are our own limitation. God can do all kinds of through us. But we have to give ourselves to him first and not let us be limiting what we can do, because through him all is possible. You know, when we do all these things, perhaps we will finally understand the opportunity to have to know who God is, to listen to God, know what he is and what he does and what he continues to do here in his world. Now, after we have known the something about being still, before we can move on to part 2 there in 46 in verse 10, we need to look at something else. Let me read it again to you. In Psalms 46 and verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." So how can we know that this is the God, the true God of the universe? Let us begin to see God from a different perspective. Now, I don't know about anybody here, but I know that many have a preconceived notion, preconceived idea of what God is all about. Even when they read the scriptures, they come away and they say, well, God is a good God. He's a God of love. He's a God of compassion and mercy. And he's all of those things. But perhaps if we look at him from a different way, if we took a little different approach, maybe we could learn even deeper what God is all about. We find that his grace is real, but we need to look at him in a way that we see things that we don't even think about. And here's the example. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke 23. Let's look at verse 33 and 34. Our Savior is hanging on the cross, the cruelest way to die, in enormous writhing pain, huge spikes nailed through his wrists and his ankles. He's writhing there, ready to die. And this talks about just the approach of it and what he says. In verse 33 here of Luke 23, we find, "And when they came to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.' And they divided his garments and cast lots." See, the first thing we need to consider is the importance of understanding of the immense grace of God. His ability to forgive those who have done horrible things. His love is beyond our understanding. But you see, that forgiveness comes when it's sought in a proper way. There's things we have to meet, but we have to be able to communicate with God to receive those benefits. Now, the next thing we could possibly know that will help us understand who God is to trust in His love. You know, as I mentioned a moment ago, that love is great. It's immense. One of the most important things we can remember is that it's a love so great that we will never fully understand it on this side of the grave. We won't fully understand the greatness of God until the time we meet Him. But it's something we need to remember and never forget, that God loves us beyond our understanding. His love is immense and beyond description. Listen to how Jesus said it here. You want to hear it in writing? Jesus said it this way. In Matthew 6, verse 25. And Jesus said, Matthew 6, verse 25, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Absolutely. Completely true. We're so much more than the food we put on our body or the clothes we wear on our body. We have a soul that will live forever. And it's important that we take care of that gift, that soul that God has given us. It's so important, so we don't really need to worry about all the things we deal with every day. God is great. Jesus goes on to say there in the following verses, you know, if God takes care of the flowers and the grass in the field and the birds that fly in the air, if He takes care of them, and He does, are you not much more? Don't you believe that He will take care of you as well? If we have faith and belief in God that He does those things, why can't we learn and let go and let Him know He will do for us as well? You see, whatever we think is going on and whatever concerns we have in our life, God already has the answers. He already has those solutions. It's up to us to listen and follow His directions. And once we do that, we need to know that we can trust in God's love. And when we trust in God's love, we can fill our anxiety, our worries and our concerns with His love. Another thing we should consider is that to know Him more as God and His love is to simply rest in His presence. Another, truly give ourselves to Him and allow us to rest in His presence. And when we think about God, we should realize that He is right here now with us. He is omnipotent. He knows everything. He's everywhere, all the time. Something we can't even begin to understand, but He is. He's here with us. Listen how the psalmist said it. Turn with me to Psalms 121, and let's look at verses 5 through 8. Psalms 121, verses 5 through 8. This inspired writer said, "The Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." You know, as we think about those verses, it helps us understand that God is right here with us now. And it makes us appreciate the fact that there's nowhere we can go that God does not know where we are, that He's not there at our call, that we can go to Him and be still and listen to His advice and calmness. You know the way the psalmist said it here in Psalms 107 and verse 1, he says it like this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." See, we can never go anywhere that God doesn't have oversight to us. And it's important to know that He's always with us. Now, the next thing we can look at is that we are to count our blessings. You know, it's interesting to think many people, when they go to the Lord, we come with a list, don't we, of the things we want Him to take care of. And besides that, we also have a list of those we want Him to care for. And so many times we go on and on with these requests that are important and valuable, and we neglect to thank Him for all that He has already done We neglect to give him the acknowledgement and express our appreciation for all the things that he has already done. We're told in the scriptures to praise God and to give him thanks. The final thing that might help us to understand and appreciate God, we find in Psalms chapter 8. You know, in those 9 verses, we find the work of God. And that's what we're going to look at. Watch God at work. If we look at those 9 verses, it tells us about what he has done. You know, he starts that Psalms with this one phrase, and he finishes it with the same words. He says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Verse 1 and 9. He starts it with praise to God, and he finishes it the same way. Then in the middle, he writes about man being a little bit less than angels, verse 5, and he writes all about the beasts of the fields and the birds that fly in the heaven and the fish that swim in the sea and all of his creation there in 6, 7, and 8. Tells them all about God's work. We want to know about God's work, just look around you. God created everything that's even here today. Nothing that is here today would ever be here today if it had not been for God giving us the raw materials and the intelligence to build it. God created everything. So as we close this morning, let us always be aware, when we come to our own conclusions in life, we must seek the Lord's advice and to make sure that we are still to hear his small voice when he calls out to us and when we need to listen. We need to be still before God and control our emotions so they don't rule us, but we rule them. We are to listen to God's voice, better understand and appreciate God, who he is, what he continues to do for us each and every day of our life. And then we need to go away, close our eyes, and get away from the distractions of this world so we can more clearly hear and understand our communications with him. So when he says something of importance, that we don't have all those other noises distracting us so we can clearly hear him. And then as we strive to see God from a different perspective, we are to trust in his love, rest in his presence, count our blessings, and then watch God work. When we do those things and put them together, we will have all the time that we need to communicate with God and to hear him back. Let us never forget that that can only happen if we first are still before God, and that all starts by becoming one of his children. We have to be in his family in order for God to openly communicate with us. And that all starts by hearing the word, believing it in our heart that Jesus is the true and living Son of God, be willing to repent from the ways that we've been walking and come to his path by confessing his name and being baptized, to have our sins forgiven, and then walk a faithful life to receive our crown of life. If that's something that you need this morning, you can have it. If you're willing and if you're ready, well, the water is as well. Let the Lord know. If you are a child of God, but you've wandered away for whatever reason, his arms are open this morning to receive you home, to welcome you back into that safety of his protection. So if you're subject to the Lord's invitation at all, in any way this morning, let it be known by coming forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.